Okay. Anyway, this is Scorpio. It is a water sign. It is the house of Dan. His color is black. But you do see what he's in the midst of the judgment, so to speak, where he has the serpent. He's taken hold of him, and the serpent is not controlling him, that super ego thing. But he's controlling it and has his foot here. His soul goes along with Genesis 4, 49 and Dan's prophecy. Somebody want to open there for me? We'll look at that real fast. Yeah, it would be good if you had a Bible, just see where I'm going and what I'm not doing. Okay, Genesis 49. The prophecy that Jacob gave over this was really for the life of and time of and even to the end of time for some of them, because he begins off begins prophesying over Reuben, and we know that Reuben had great desires, but he chose to commit adultery immediately, so to speak. And he was the one that could see, because his mother couldn't see. She named him to see further, more expanded. So for me, for those that aren't even willing to look, you have to look. You have to be willing to look. If you draw perimeters and limits in your mind, you can't look. You don't need to do that. I mean, reach out a little bit. You'll know it if it's not right for you. Your mind can be a very expansive thing. Anyway, Dan refused to take the serpent as his symbol, because the serpent had to him such a bad meaning. Instead of being able to look at the serpent on the cross, the one lifted up, nailed to the tree, he couldn't do that. I mean, I guess that would be painful for people, and I feel much like Rokas. If I was going to tell stories, I wouldn't make them quite these horror stories that they are, because that's kind of how the picture is painted if you read it literally. In scripture, if you just read it literally, you're going, I don't need no part of this. But when you read it with light and reach beyond your intellect, everything, you get the meat of it comes out. But anyway, in the prophecies, he prophesies over Reuben quickly and over Levi and Simeon quickly, and he devotes about 6 to 8 chapters to Judah. And that's because he says, send whatever is in you, that is Judah, first. Judah bespeaks your most emotional connection. The line. The lamb. And whether man knows it or not, every man has a lamb in his house. Every man doesn't know he has a lamb in his house. The breath that's coming in and out of me is the lamb in my house. I mean, that's just, to me, duh. But there's a world of people that don't know that. So it makes you responsible for you. But anyway, but he gets over here to Dan and he says, Dan shall walk in judgment of his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent, by the way. You see that clearly with this man holding this serpent. There's always a serpent in your path. You can either deal with that serpent, stomp its head off, or lift it up and nail it to the tree. I mean, it's up to you. We need to recognize our own serpents. Dan shall be a serpent by way, an adder in your path that biteth at the horse's heels so that the rider falls backward. So what he's saying here, he tells us over in Peter, if there's going to be judgment, let the judgments be your judgments inside of you. Let judgment, as you judge yourself, you won't be so hard on other people. Unless you're pretty egotistical, if you judge yourself. But for the grace of God, we could have been anywhere, anytime. But it's like Beverly said in the song we started off with, take off your shoes, Moses. You're standing on holy ground as you fellowship with the body of Christ. Is one person the body? No. It is a corporate thing. So I need to fellowship my arm, my foot, my head, the organs in my body. I need to let all of me function, but I can't do that alone. I'm just a little bit of the body in time. Just a little bit. So it's good to come together and build the house, work on the house. Well, I was not going to teach on any of that, so we will turn to... what I've been dealt with already. I've been doing a teaching series on the Song of Solomon. And for some reason, this began to catch my eye. It's in the Song of Solomon, if you could turn with me. If you don't know where it is, it's right behind Ecclesiastes. So if you get to Ecclesiastes, you're close. He says in this verse, and I've read this to you before, but it bears reading again because this is done five times in these five scriptures. Stay up there, Stu. Song of Solomon 2 and 7 says, remember, the Shulamite has a lover. She's just a little lowly shepherd girl and meets the shepherd, and they're immediately fused together and are one. However, the scripture says her brothers were jealous. And she says, they made me a keeper of vineyards. They was trying to remove her from his path. They didn't want her out there shepherding anymore because they were afraid he would defile her, which he would not do. They wanted her to marry higher up. Well, along comes King Ego, Solomon, and his court of beautiful women. But he sees something in this little shepherd girl with probably a dirty face, dusty clothes. You just think about keeping sheep and smelling like the animals. And he wants her. I mean, that's what baffles me. That's what makes me know this has to be a spiritual story and not something natural at all. Anyway, they fall in love. Her brothers get worried. And she said, they made me a keeper of everybody's vineyard. But she said, my own vineyard, I haven't kept. I haven't been given an opportunity to deal with myself. So that's kind of where the story is. The daughters of Jerusalem here are his entourage that he traveled with. I doubt very seriously he took his whole court. There would have been 1,000 women if he took his whole entourage. He probably took the most beautiful ladies and the ones closest to him and all that to let man see what he could conquer, I guess is the word, and flaunt. And he's trying to win her, but she begins to tell. She speaks to the daughters of Jerusalem, those women that are with him. And she says this, I charge you, O you daughters of Jerusalem. And I thought, we really need to make an understanding of what the daughters are of Jerusalem are. I guess we have to put a lip on this thing up here. Anyway.
Push your suitcase on there later. I'll
build it up. Honey, they just don't stay on it. That's too much or something. So we need to talk about the daughters of Jerusalem in the term, I charge you. I really got to looking at that, and I wanted the depth of the understanding of how she could do this. I mean, she was not really got a voice among all those ladies, knowing they are beautiful, perfect, clean, dressed to kill, you know, and here she is. But she's telling them something. I charge you, O you daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up or awake my love until he pleases. I thought, okay. And I really thought about this. I said, but what? God, what is it you want us to see in that scripture? Because it's used 5 times, and each time it goes to a graduated height. It grows. Because she's not just speaking to the daughters of Jerusalem, but she charges them by the rose, which is a fast-traveling animal. Like 40 miles an hour. And the hinds of the field would be rapid moving deer. They could move rapidly. Anyway, the word charge, let's see where I wrote it down. Well, I did it here this morning. The word charge, it's a strong word here, and I thought, what makes it stronger than other words? Can y'all see this? And what I went back to was remembering it means to adjure, but to adjure can be a really strong term because it comes from the word, or it's the root word of adjudicate. And you know what adjudication is. That's going before a judgment. When Rachel played the piano, she was adjudicated. They called it adjudications. And I always made her real nervous, and me too. Because the judges were judging her legato and her tone and the way she touched the keys and the effect that it had on her. So this is a very strong word. It actually means to command with an earnestness of heart. And as I say that, I think of Rokas was teaching on a CD this morning, and I could feel his strength and effort in wanting to give to the people a freedom to worship and be who they were. Basically, he was saying, if you're drunk, be a drunk and get it over with. Do what you do and get it done. Get past, is what he was saying. And we can all do that. We don't have to stay where we are in our mentality. It also means an oath. But then I got to looking at the Kabbalah, and it takes you to a much stronger understanding. Let's see if I wrote that down somewhere. Okay. Lamentations tells us exactly who the daughters are. And Lamentations is just in front of Jeremiah, if you don't know your books of the Bible. I'm not sure where I'm going. Oh, yeah. And it's one of my favorite scriptures. Lamentations 3:51 says, mine eye, that means how you see things with your inner eye, not with just these eyes that you see surface things. But if you've been around my husband very long, he's not always going to communicate until he thinks he's got the person figured out. Then, if it's just on a business level, he does immediately. But if he's really going to talk to somebody, he figures them out. And we all do this in some way or other. And it's wisdom to do that, because we don't know where they're coming from unless you stop and think about it. Think, why is this person doing this? Or where have they been? And you do this with compassion and humility, knowing, but for the grace of God, you could do that. Or be there. So, the eye, how you look and perceive things, is very important. And when you look, flip the coin over and look at both sides of it. Okay? Because sometimes one side of that coin looks like that beautiful tapestry that God is weaving with mankind. One side is so pretty and you can see the pattern. But if you flip it over, it's full of knots and snarls where it's been tied off and all that stuff. Do you hear what I'm saying? So there's a flip side. What did the person's tapestry go through to become the pattern that it is? So that gives people room. It gives you room, and they will feel safe with you. If they don't feel safe with you, they are not going to open up to you. No. Because they're afraid of ridicule. So she says, no, she doesn't. This is Lamentations Jeremiah supposedly wrote. Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all of my affections, all the daughters in my governmental order in my city. I'm just interpreting it as I go. You're a city set on a hill. Did you know that? You make up your own government in your world, thought life, in your world. Everybody does it. So be aware of what your affections are. And Lord, they can be from anything. People's affections are very different. The things that affect you and the things that affect the other guy. It's both important. So mine eye affecteth mine heart. How I feel inside. Because of all of my own affections in the city that I've built, that I live in. All of us are like a city now. So you know who the daughters of Jerusalem are now. And you don't want to know how many times the scripture says, and the daughters of Jerusalem went a-whoring. So all of them are not circumspect. And to be honest, in our spiritual life, we've all been whoring. Before. Of course, we didn't know it was that particularly, but it was. How would you know what one isn't if you haven't been one, or one is if you haven't been there? Of course you know. And I'm not putting us down, I'm just showing us. We need to see the whole picture before we make a judgment of something. Well, here, let's come out of the notes. She says, I charge you, daughters of Jerusalem. You got a picture of who they are, right? Well, there's one other scripture I'll take us to give you another picture of the daughters. The daughter is never masculine. She is a female in her soul realm, so to speak, for sure. Trying to think of where I'm supposed to be going. Genesis 6. Y'all stay with me now. Please, for a little while. It came to pass when men began to multiply upon the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men. At that time, the daughters of men were, the fathers of the daughters of men were giants. The giant races. Well, we're not supposed to have no giants amongst us, right? They saw the daughters of men of the giants, and they said, yeah, that's what I want. They were beautiful. So they took them all that they chose. So the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, because he's just flesh. Yet his days shall be 120. There were giants in the earth in those days, also after that the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, the men of renown. Nimrod was offsprings of that kind of relationship. And God saw the wickedness. Okay, you see where I'm taking you with the daughters of men. It's not something outside of you. It's inside. Your affections are inside. I will destroy the word there. The word there, when he uses destroy in the Hebrew, it's always, I will take an eraser. I'm just going to erase that first thing and leave his imprint. We use pencils in high school. Kids don't do that anymore because we had to erase a lot. So we didn't know everything. Now I guess they scratch through it. I'm not sure. I like the idea of pencils for children. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth and grieved him at his heart. Because his sons, what he felt was his kingdom, his people that he had begun to select, had decided to marry into the other races. Thus, we see this all over the place right now in our world. So the Lord said, I'm going to wipe that out, whom I've created from the face of the earth, both the man and the beast, the creeping things, the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I made them. He allowed them to make choices from the beginning. And most times, man didn't do too good until they got in pain or in trouble, and then that causes us to cry out. An issue comes along in our life, and we're going, we figure out whose fault it is, of course. And it's never ours, okay? Well, I got a lot to say about that. But in the midst of all this, God destroying, this is one of the horror stories. I'm sure I'm one of those that drowned. Scripture says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In the midst of that, Noah would not mix with any other or let his children. Daughters of men. So you got a picture of who the daughters of men are within and without, I hope. The thing I want to get across here about this particular scripture in the Psalms is, just let me read it to you out of the Hebrew English, because I cannot read Hebrew. Okay, in the I charge you, we find every bit of her femininity was swallowed up into spirit, had been lost, because it is of a masculine, all the verbs, everything in this I charge you is masculine. Even in the alphabet. So it really wasn't her speaking, but him speaking through her. How often does that happen to you? Many times we're just in a conversation with somebody, and something will come out of me, and I know that was not mine. I know that came from something bigger, better, higher. That divine part of me took over there. And that's awesome when that happens. But this right here leaves no room for a whoring situation. I mean, where she is, if you want me to be very honest, she's in bed with him. They're having relationship. And he through her is saying, get away, leave us alone, let us have our time, everything, all you affections, don't be thinking of, I mean, in your intimate time with God, you don't want any interference. It's so in the natural, in your physical relationship with your husband or wife, you don't want somebody coming in and disturbing that beautiful moment of union. So he speaks through her. Don't disturb me right now. Don't interfere with where I am in the planting of the seed. So when the teacher's teaching, he's saying that seed that's coming forth, make sure you're still to receive it in your quiet place, knowing who you are, in your aloneness, so to speak. And you don't have to be alone to receive the seed from him. But I would suggest with your wife and husband, you be very alone. But whatever, for that part. Then she says a thing that makes us set this apart. Well, let me read what female means here, a daughter. One who can receive seed, but the root primitive word for female is to puncture. I just had to laugh. It's not a poke, like they say on TV. Who was that? Can't remember the guy's name. Duvall. Robert Duvall. And Lonesome Dove. Always wanting to poke. I know this seems out of place, but I'm trying to get to the root of this word. It means to puncture, to perforate. If you perforate a piece of paper, it is so much easier to turn and bend and tear, put in its place, tear apart. If you get bills, you got your part of your bill, it's perforated, you peel that off, and with your check or however you do it, you pay your bill, right? So perforation's good. It means to bore. It means expression with holes in it. I'm going, uh-oh. I've had some of them. When I express myself, I didn't always express that divine feminine, if you know what I mean. But the one that's not divine, the fallen Sophia. It means to pierce. And it also means female as the sexual form.
To break the hymen?
Oh, yes. The hymen has to be broken. That goes back to the 10 virgins. They remained virgins, every one of them. Not one of them went in. So they never got the hymen broke. And that wouldn't make for too much of a marriage relationship. Okay, let's go on to... I want to read these scriptures because right now in the spiritual world, things are really changing. I mean, really changing. People are not going to hear... as that song we sang this morning, and Terry was so touched, and I tell you, that song statement is so humbling and beautiful. I mean, you can be one with yourself without anybody around. The consciousness that Morgan was talking to me about last night. That's that super consciousness. It's awesome to be able to just, they come down here and start preparing, which is beautiful. And we come down and begin to join in worship, and it's not for anybody to see. I mean, we don't have a crowd here. So it has nothing to do with that. It's a very personal thing. In this day and time, I feel most people have a flat nose. They cannot smell. And it's important because your smeller is the discerner of a situation. When you smell, okay, I'll prove this to you. Reuben was the eyes. Simeon was the ears. Levi became the nose brain. You can smell that out because it's a discerner. But scripture says in Leviticus 21 and 18, this is out of the old law, of course. I'm trying to teach us the new law, really. For whosoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach the altar. If he's blind, if he can't see, how's he going to find it? I talk to people all the time in the world that are blind or a bat as far as spiritual things are concerned. They don't even know there is, and they don't want it mentioned. I ain't worried about that part. I'm here. I'm happy. I just say, well, let's butt it out, dude. Enjoy your whatever you're calling happy. A lame that cannot walk in it, that means put it in your shoe leather. Or he that hath a flat nose. A short nose. The original says just a real short nose. So that gives us discernment of how the other person feels. It doesn't have anything to do with you personally. Prove it to you. Hebrews.
What was that reference, Connie? That you just...
Leviticus 21 and 18. It's the old law. But then when it gets over here to Hebrews, I believe this is the New Testament. So he takes us a step further in this. Hebrews 4 and 12 says, for the word of God, it's powerful and quick, it's in you, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of what is soulish and is spirit. And I'm telling you, most people just don't do that. They don't know what soul, they think soul and spirit is one thing. Carolyn was talking to me on the phone. She said, Connie, if you teach anything, teach about soul being a different part of spirit, that they are not the same thing. So that's all I've ever seen. That's one of the first things I learned. If we were all spiritual beings, what would be the point of us being here? We have spirit. Anyway, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. So discern where you are and who you're talking to, what it's about. If it's work, well, it's work. You got to do work. That's cool. God, I don't have a problem with you doing your work or your things. But just because somebody speaks something, don't you ever feel a little hitch in certain things? When I feel a hitch, I'm going, I'm not eating that. I know Suke. I've met her plenty of times. This Sue and Kay that runs around in Mankind. It's psychic. It's psychic. And it's not God. But people think it's God sometimes. I'd like to take y'all to a church we went to and listen to anything but spirit for 3.5 hours. It was soulish. But they feel it's spirit, and that's okay. I'm not going to bother what they feel. I know the difference. Spirit has wisdom. It says people can't sit 3.5 hours. When your bottom wears out, your mind quits. So, I mean, really, can't we get this done in normal, lesser time and give people room to do whatever? Anyway. And the joints and the marrow, it divides asunder. Soul, spirit knows the difference. And I'm telling you, people don't. They do not. And I know they don't. You can tell that they don't by what's coming out of their mouth. It is a discerner of every thought and intent of the heart. And that's where I give a lot of people room. If the intention was there to do right, I can forgive for that. Because I have intent sometimes and I can't perform, I can't get them done. So you get kudos for good intentions. God rewards intent. What is your intent? But then he's looking at your thought. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight constantly. But all things are naked and opened in the eyes of him of whom we have to do. You can't fool the God in you. You can try for a while or stick him in a box and keep him there. That is so stupid when you can just let him fly and you can expand from the earth or from the cosmos. I mean, you can go anywhere. This is an expanding thing, and man is not going to stay in the state that Leslie was telling me about at this church. Leslie grew up, got a good education, 2 degrees from UT. She went to this little primitive church to please her mother. And so she had questions, and women aren't allowed to speak in that church. Hello. So her mother went privately to the pastor to question, and he said, that is the trouble with women. They should never be educated. That's in East Tennessee. I can point you to the place. Where is his thinking? I mean, that to me is scary. He believes the woman is lesser than him. I'd love to talk to him. His head'd be spinning around before I got here.
He'd do an exorcist dance.
Yes, he would. But that's what I'm saying. Man is not going to stay in that mentality. The consciousness is being raised all of the time. And especially in this year, remember, it was the year of the sword of dividing.
Amen.
And we've really been into that dividing things. It's good to divide. Look at it. I mean, take your brain out and play with the thing. Why do I feel this way? I ask questions to myself. Why do I feel this way? I want an answer. I don't shut up. Might be midnight and I'm hungry. He'll open the door and feed me. So your crying out is important. You might think, I've prayed that prayer for 40 years. And I've heard people accuse people of that. You've prayed that for 40 or 50 years and nothing's happened. I want to say this thing ain't over yet, dude. And I see things happening all of the time that I can see God's hand in. Even, believe it or not, even in our politics, doing what he's doing. Anyway, one more scripture. Hebrews 5 and 13. For everyone that uses the milk is unskillful in the word. My grandson was talking to me and quoting me scripture completely out of context. And I was going, I said, that's okay. I never argued with him. I didn't say a word. I just thought you just keep chomping on that wormy manna and it'll kill you one day. For he's a baby, if he's unskillful in the word, if he doesn't have an understanding of who he is, how great he is, how wonderful each person is in their own right. You make your own decisions about everything. Did anybody influence you? Yeah, sure they did. We get influenced. And we don't always make decisions just for ourselves. But strong meat belongeth to them that are mature, full age. We had our kids over yesterday. I had to think about this life. Leslie does not talk much. Now, she's a good communicator. If I text that girl, as soon as she can, she texts me right back. She, at certain times, she can't. She always answers me. But yesterday, it was time for her to talk. And I thought about the lamb as he grows. There's a big difference in that little innocent baby lamb and a ram at the top of the mountain with horns. Yet she's not a ram, she's a goat. That's worse. She's a goat and Johnny's a goat. He's got some people in the family now, several of them that are Capricorns.
Well, he's got a granddaughter by marriage.
Yes.
My son's.
And Sammy's girl, too. Four Capricorns have come along. So they're goats, and you cannot make a goat do anything. They have to choose it. How many Capricorns does it take to turn on a light bulb?
Four.
one. But it has to be their idea. If it's not their idea, they'll give you a look. And most of the time, try to tell you a better way. Unless they know you know already. Okay. So this nose brain has to be restored to Levi is the leader, so to speak. He moves out of his personal priesthood in the Old Testament. And in the new priesthood, we all know that we have a part of Levi in us, because if we live in this, you're the priest over your house. You are. Isn't that right, Morgan? You are the priest over your house. So you get to say. The Levites, Judah, they marched 3 days' journey down the road from everybody else. So no, we're not living in the age of Aquarius, spiritually speaking. We're over there in Libra. You've got Capricorn, the next age, right? Sagittarius, the next age. Levi will take that dude's place right there, because there is none of that in the destiny order. So Levi leads, and Levi's sign is Libra. Do you hear me? So we're functioning out of Libra, which is the house of marriage and relationships. Relationship, 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 relationship. What is your relationship with yourself and everybody else? What do you relate to? I've got one more thing I need to say. Ephesians 5. Fifth chapter. And what is it? Oh yeah, 6. 5, and starting in the 6th chapter. 6th verse. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. That's why I struggle with prophecies. Somebody stood up in front of the room and prophesied all these beautiful things, and it leaves everybody out here without a word. That bothers me. And it's vanity. Be ye not partakers with that. They did that for 3.5 hours there. Yeah, this one prophesied and that one prophesied and prophesied. It was not anything new. For you were sometimes darkness, right? We've all spent time in a darkness somewhere within ourselves. But now you're children of the light in the Lord. So walk like a children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. You just prove yourself to Him. It's so personal again. And listen to this. We need to put this in ink all over our house, or write it on our forehead and use it for frontlets for our eyes. Have no fellowship, none, with the unfruitful works of darkness, the lower levels, negative people, negative attitudes. Don't fellowship it. I'm a stubborn woman. I won't stay in it. Not long. Rather, reprove them. That means to confute, admonish, convince, convert. Tell them where they're at fault. Rebuke. I'm not real good at that all the time with everybody. But if we love somebody, we would say, hey, where are you living right now? What realm are you occupying that you don't have to, that takes you down and everybody around you? Because this says you have no fellowship with it. Doesn't mean it's not going to come into your life. But you be smart enough to recognize it and say, hey, wait a minute. You're dirtying up my picture here. Don't you know that there's other realms that you could think on? And in all things, give thanks. I don't get that right away sometimes, I'll be honest. Sometimes I have to get thankful. Because I'm sure not at the moment. But yeah, I'm going, thank you for this blessing I didn't want. I don't mean it. And Carolyn's saying in the hot car, coming to Tennessee in July with no air conditioning, thank you, God, that it's so hot. And her sweating. You know, you get in places. Karen and I were in another situation in the late afternoon where there was a realm and realms and realms of people in different realms. And I mean, it was uncomfortable. We did all right. We did okay with it. Because one believes this and one believes that. I mean, these belief systems for something else.
Well, you may not be able to reprove it outright, but you can reprove it inwardly. You know, have no fellowship with that.
Well, you can change the conversation sometimes.
But, and also, yes, you may be able to do that. And what it says here is, which I really like, all things that are reproved in verse 13 are made manifest by the light. So we bring light on that situation by reproving it, or by pointing it out, by
turning it around.
Right. We can turn that around by recognizing what level that is at and bringing that up to a higher place.
Right.
Turn that situation around. Bring light onto the situation, because now it's in darkness. And recognizing it for what it is.
Absolutely. And not stay there. I'm not saying don't ever go there within your own self, because we have to experience things, depths and heights and lengths and breadths. But there's nothing that says you just live there all the time.
Right, constantly. It takes you down.
It makes you down and everybody around you down.
So try not to show it on your face. That's my problem. I get the spot.
Well, there's a solution to everything, in darkness and in light. And if you're like with me, if I got a struggle, then it is my struggle, okay? I have to own that. And so in examining myself and processing and then looking at options. So it is a thinking thing sometimes.
Yes, it is.
Okay? And you just have to get quiet and remove yourself from the situation. I do.
Just and get through it. Yeah.
Yeah, there's various things that you can do to reprove it.
Yes. if I can, I always try to change the conversation. But sometimes it's so set that it, you know, you're going, okay, split it open, do it. The personal affections are of the perfectness of this love life, and it will not allow any interference or distraction. That's back to the Shulamite and her lover. In this realm, you're totally one. You're not one-sided. There's an intellectual, desirable determination and emotional perfection. And when we be still and know that God's God, Romans 8 says, so that they that walk in the flesh can never please God. And he tells you what the flesh is, just in case you don't know up here. For they that are after the flesh only mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death riddled, but to be spiritually minded brings life and peace. For the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it ever be. Okay? Rest my case. I'm done.